This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, getting you ready for week 9 of the college football season. Earlier this week, we saw an unbeaten get knocked off by a winless team in Liberty as a 27-point favorite losing to Kennesaw State. Is that indicative, foreshadowing of the craziness we could see this week? Maybe. Could dogs be barking? Usually, if they're barking, that's a good thing for me and my partner in crime, Matt Eubens. We love some dogs, Matt. We got some dogs on our card. I got a couple favorites. I don't know how I feel about that, but we're ready to rock and roll.
Well, hopefully the Kennesaw State Owls set the tone for home dogs this week with a big win over Liberty on Thursday night. I've got a couple home dogs I like Friday night. We'll talk about later. But the bottom line is, Tim, we don't have Georgia, Texas. We don't have the high-profile games. But we have a full college football schedule, so we want winners.
We always want winners, and we've got five games between top 25 teams. Three of those teams we deem as the best games of the week, and we call those games
the main course.
Yes, indeed. We're getting hungry. We're getting close to Thanksgiving, believe it or not. Yeah, I see the grocery stores. They got all the fixings out, and we're ready to go. The best game of the week, in my opinion, LSU at Texas A&M, College Station, Kyle Field will be bumping. And we've seen some movement, Matt, towards the road dog in this one. LSU opened around a 3.5-point underdog. And here on time of record, we're seeing movement towards the home dog or the home favorite in this spot. As now Texas A&M is around a 1 or 1.5-point favorite in this one. Matt, I think I'm going to be on the wrong side of this one because I thought Texas A&M was going to be bet up in the market. They're dealing with some injuries. Their starting left guard will be out for this game. Nick Scorton, good news there for Texas A&M. He is expected to be healthy, was just dealing with a little bit of a bug. And maybe it just comes down to the fact of a quarterback that you trust more. Do you trust Garrett Nussmeier or do you trust Connor Wegman? And I understand that mindset, but I'm in on Texas A&M. I, to be honest, took a bad number. I took minus 125 on the money line. You could get that money line around minus 115, but I'm going to lean to the home favorite here, Texas A&M against LSU. And look, LSU is a team that we bet against last week, and we were wrong. And maybe LSU is hitting its peak at the right time, but I'm thinking about a stretch here of Ole Miss at Arkansas, and now a night game at Kyle Field. And I know that Kyle Field earlier this year didn't lead to a victory for Texas A&M against Notre Dame in a high-profile game. But Giggum, I'm going to take the Aggies here, and I'm going against the market move, which always makes me feel pretty awful.
Yeah, don't look now, but Brian Kelly is doing it again. After LSU loses the season opener in Las Vegas to USC, six straight wins. And, a lot of sharp bettors were on Arkansas a week ago. Garrett Nussmeier, 233 yards passing in that game, no touchdowns, but the Tigers roll on the road 34-10. I don't trust Texas A&M in this spot, and I know the Aggies are a much better run operation this year because they're well coached, but I just don't trust Connor Wegman, a quarterback, and there's always something fishy, Tim, when you got a home favorite laying less than three.
Yes.
Be leery of home favorites laying less than three because those are fragile favorites. And, I do the weekly spot on ESPN Radio Baton Rouge. And today one host was strong on Texas A&M. The other host, very strong on LSU. So split right down the middle. And that's kind of where I am. I don't have a strong opinion on this.
Well, I think that one host would be Jimmy Ott. And he said, I'm on the home team. I just texted him. He said, LSU defensively is improved. And I would agree with that. The odd thing about LSU's defense, their best player from a physical standpoint, Harold Perkins out for the year, and the defense has gotten better. Blake Baker has done a really good job. Jimmy continues, though, and he says A&M front will limit improving LSU run game and Nussmeier. So there you go. He is going with the home team in that spot.
Hey, we're big fans of Jimmy Ott. He's been on the show with us many times, but he's also been wrong about the LSU games the last 2 weeks. He was on Ole Miss. He was on Ole Miss. He was on Arkansas. So take it for what it's worth. You know, sometimes it's tough. Once you get your pulse on a team, you feel really good about playing that team's games every week. And there are a few teams out there that, you know, give you some trouble week after week after week. And one of those teams for me this year has been Colorado State. You know, so LSU, Texas A&M, I don't have a strong feel for either of those teams.
All right, well, an official play for me, Texas A&M. And, Matt, you say this a lot about your bets. You kind of rank them in order of how you like them. I would say this is my least favorite bet, but I have made the bet. I will give the bet out, and hopefully Texas A&M gets it right here. So we will roll with Texas A&M. Let's stay in the SEC, and let's head to a likely top 25 matchup. We all knew that October 26th in Nashville, we would have two top 25 teams playing. You might have thought, wait, are Texas and Ole Miss playing like a neutral site game or something like that? No. Vanderbilt into the top 25. And Ball State, thank you very much, getting the cover last week in a brutal spot for the Commodores. Texas coming off the loss to Georgia. You and I both had Georgia last week, so we didn't give out all winners, but that was a winner that you and I both liked, and Georgia won that game convincingly. Vanderbilt loves this dog roll. Matt, I looked it up. There are three teams this year in college football that are 3-0 or better against the spread as underdogs: Illinois, BYU, and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt 4-0 this year, ATS, as an underdog, 3-1 straight up. What do you make of this game where Vanderbilt catching 19 at home against the Longhorns?
Yeah, Vanderbilt 5-2. What a great story. To me, this is my favorite story of the college football season. You can talk about Army and Navy, and those are awesome storylines as well. We'll talk more about those teams. But Vanderbilt, think about how bad this program's been for so long, Tim. And Clark Lee shows up from Notre Dame, and he says, we're going to make this the marquee program in the SEC, and he gets laughed at. All of us laughed. Everybody laughed at him. Well, now he's knocked off Alabama. He's knocked off Kentucky on the road. He's got the Commodores in the top 25. No, it's not going to be the marquee program in the SEC, but at least they can compete with the marquee programs now. And that's what the Commodores have to do this week with Texas. Diego Pavia, by the way, has been an awesome story. When you consider the rise of the Commodores, what they've done this year, who would have thought, Tim, that a quarterback who transferred from New Mexico State would make this much of a difference? But that's the case here. And Diego Pavia has been a real difference maker, quarterback for Vandy. I'm going to do the same thing with this game that I did with the Alabama-Vandy game. I'm taking Vandy as a home dog. I took 19. I'm playing a half unit on the first half and a half unit for the game just in case things get out of control and Texas and its athletes take over in the second half. But you reduce your volatility a little bit with a bet like this. Half unit first half, half unit on the game. But I am taking the points with the Commodores, and I talked about this on the Follow the Money show with Mitch and Paul yesterday. Tim, letdown spots are not only for teams that win.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can have a letdown spot after a deflating loss. And that's what the Longhorns had last week in Austin. They got their butts kicked by the Bulldogs. Now you go on the road and take on a Vandy team where Texas might not be fully focused. On top of that, Quinn Ewers sat out a month with the oblique injury. Came back against Oklahoma. I didn't think he looked very good. Tim, he didn't look very good last week against Georgia either. And I kind of feel like there are probably some thoughts going through Steve Sarkisian's head that, hey, maybe we're a little bit better with Arch Manning running the offense. But this week it's still going to be Quinn Ewers, who's got a lot to prove to me because I haven't seen it from him the last 2 weeks, so I'm going to go with the home dog.
Yeah, Diego Pavia, if you remove the New Mexico State game the Liberty game where New Mexico State lost in the CUSA championship, that's a game where he got hurt. Last year and this year, Diego Pavia, 9-1-1 ATS as an underdog. The guy is a gamer. I know that's not something analytical, but this is also a team that plays kind of like a service academy. They want to play keep away. They do a lot of short screens, short passes, and you could see the frustration from Alabama building just a couple weeks ago when Vanderbilt pulled off that outright upset. So I haven't bet it yet, but I think I'm going to tail you on this one. Vanderbilt in that spot. The look-ahead line, by the way, at DraftKings was 21. The look-ahead line on this next game was 17. Both teams went out one and covered. The number now sits at 13 at most shops. That's Notre Dame and Navy. This game is a neutral site game being played at MetLife Stadium. Navy this year undefeated, 6-0, 5-1 against the spread, 6-0 to the over. However, Matt, when you look at different strength of schedule metrics, they're around the bottom, 132, I believe, at some metrics, FPI and all of that. If you incorporate some FCS teams, they're in like the 140s. They've been a phenomenal story. They've been destroying everybody. They've had some fortune. Their defense is not great. What do you make of this spot here? Notre Dame Navy. Notre Dame laying 13, a spot that I think you and I think may be a little bit of a popular dog play.
Yeah, this is tough because I made the number on this game 11, 11 and a half, right around that neighborhood. And I talked to a close friend of yours, Dan Saley, college football handicapping specialist, pro sports bettor out of Vegas. And I asked him Saturday night, what do you make there? What are your ratings show? What are your ratings make the number on Notre Dame Navy? And his ratings showed 21, Notre Dame minus 21. And I know that this is a big step up in class for the midshipmen in terms of the competition they have faced. Tim, Blake Horvath has done it all for this Navy offense so far, dual threat quarterback, and actually the forward pass has been a big part of it for Navy. The question is, can Navy operate its offense against the athletes Notre Dame has on defense? And is this too much of a step up in class for the midshipmen? Is Notre Dame going to wear that opponent down in the second half and turn this into a blowout? I think the number right now is around the right neighborhood. I'm not going to play this. I think it could go either way. I'd love to see Navy hang in this game and compete. I know you want to see the Fighting Irish win in a blowout.
Yes, I do.
But I think we're in the right price range. It's going to be a pass for me.
Yeah, Brad Powers on VSiN Primetime earlier this week liked the over and did like Notre Dame, I think, under two touchdowns. So we will see how this one plays out. For those wondering, over at VSiN.com, early action, 77% of the bets at DraftKings on the Navy midshipman. All right, that's going to do it for the main course. Let's get into some spicy matchups and more best bets. Stick around. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We added another podcast to the weekly rundown as Wes Reynolds. We're going to go call it Wednesdays with Wes,
man. I like that.
And Wednesdays with Wes, talking some situational spots with Wes. It's going to be a quick in and out, 15 to 20 minutes. I want to clear something up here just to add it to the Notre Dame Navy game. This courtesy of our good friend Patrick Everson over at Vegas Insider, who does a great job. And it said, it's clear one-sided action on Navy. Who can blame them? The midshipmen are 6-0, straight up 5-1 ATS. Notre Dame is shaping up to be our biggest need of the day. That was according to TwinSpires director of retail, Zachary Lucas. Sportsbooks needing Notre Dame. Not that often that is the case.
No, and typically as a bettor, you don't want to be on the public dog. But you know what? It's that's not true every time.
No, it is not.
So it's I can't say the Navy midshipmen have no chance because the public is on this underdog. But typically, I try to avoid public dogs. But, Tim, I also think that's more important in the NFL betting market than the college football market.
The last time Notre Dame and Navy played as two ranked teams, 2019, Notre Dame won 52-20 in that one. All right, let's keep it rolling. You know, we're here at the D. Look over there, and there's a good restaurant there to stop by. Throw some hot sauce on it, Matt. You and I love some spicy food. You know what I like more? I like those spicy matchups.
Muy caliente. Spicy matchups.
All right, let's head to Orlando, Florida. That is a spot that I know Matt likes to go to and hang out at Disney World and hang out with Mickey probably pretty regularly. BYU headed to UCF. I mentioned there are three teams in the country, 3-0 or better, as underdogs this year. Illinois, Vanderbilt, and BYU. BYU 3-0, straight up, and ATS as a dog. Well, they can't be an underdog against UCF, who's 3-4.
Right.
Oh, but they are, Matt. And sometimes the line tells you the story. What do you make of BYU at UCF?
Well, first of all, I don't like you lying to the listeners, so I don't like Disney World. I don't hate Disney World. It's great for the kids, but it's not for me. The last time I was in the Orlando area, I can say that I hated the humidity. It rained all the time. Too many mosquitoes. No, I don't like to go down there. But the last time I was down there, I had an uncle lived in the neighborhood, and we went to the Seminole Dog Track. And that was a good trip. That's much better than Disney World. And
I could see you going around Epcot and taking a drink at every country.
That was before the crooked politicians in Florida shut down the dog tracks. Anyway.
didn't have that on my bingo card. What do you make of this one at the bounce house, BYU-UCF?
Well, I had this on my sheet early in the week. I said, you know, I'm going to take a close look at UCF here. I think this is a good spot for the Knights. And it was +2 early in the week. And I thought, this probably should be a pick 'em game or UCF favorite before I could pull the trigger on this game. the line moved and the favorite flipped to UCF. But it's pretty obvious why. Hey, the Cougars have done some of this with smoke and mirrors. And I'm not going to diminish what they did last, was it Friday night in Provo?
Oklahoma State.
How great was the finish to that game with BYU scoring on the, what was it, about 35-yard touchdown pass in the last seconds of the game.
Converted a 4th-and-7 from their own 28 by a hair, and then like 3 plays later into the end zone.
The 4th-and-7 conversion, then the long TD pass where he jukes 3 defenders and gets into the end zone. Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback for BYU, doing a great job. And that atmosphere in Provo was electric. But after a game like that, you got to look for a flat spot. I looked at the BYU schedule. Who's up next? Oh, they got to travel to Central Florida. This is going to be a tough spot. And, hey, guess what? UCF showed a lot of life last week. The Knights probably should have beat Iowa State on the road. So I see a couple of buy signs there. So I did play UCF, but I played this on the money line, and I played this at -125.
Yep, I played it at the same price. It's funny. We talked about this on VSiN Primetime on Monday. This was the first game I targeted this week. And then on Tuesday, we saw the market moving quickly, so I quickly pulled out the app because I thought maybe we'd get the 3. Not the case. I imagine if you talk to sportsbook directors, you're probably going to hear the old term pros versus Joes. Whatever. I like UCF here in this spot. BYU, congratulations. It's been an awesome story. You and I both backed them against Kansas State in that game. They won 38-9. They were also outgained by over 100 yards, +3 in turnover margin. I think they returned a fumble for a score, a punt return for a score. BYU is good. Are they worthy of the 11th ranked team in the country? No. And this reminds me a little bit, Matt, of a game last year in November. Oklahoma State was a short road favorite at Central Florida in the middle of November, and Gus Malzahn's squad put it on the Pokes as a 4-4 team, won 45-3. Ja'Kari Brown, the starting quarterback now for KJ Jefferson, rushed for 154 yards a week ago. RJ Harvey, a stud running back, 196. Stormy Bonatoni, she'll be on the sidelines for this one, our colleague here at VSiN, and hopefully she will give us a little bit more success than the Miami-Louisville game, because Louisville ultimately did not get there. But a common play for us, we will be both on UCF on the money line, find the cheapest price that is out there. Matt, College game day headed to Bloomington, Indiana for the first time ever. As Wes Reynolds let me know, they actually had been there before, but it was for like a Thursday night game. Not the real deal, College game day. The return of Lee Corso, the former coach of Indiana. The Hoosiers, I tried to get in front of this freight train last week. It did not go well as they won 56-7. But Curtis Rourke got hurt. He had surgery this week. He's out. Taven Jackson steps in. Matt, they're a 6.5-point favorite at Washington. Is the drop-off from Curtis Rourke to Jackson only worth 3 points in your eyes?
Well, it's tough to really equate what it's worth to the point spread. I think that it's going to be worth a lot to the flow of the game, though. And that's why I'm on Washington here. But I'm taking the 7 on Washington. I haven't bet it yet because I want to see if it goes up. I have not faded Indiana yet this season. I know a lot of bettors have tried, including you, but I have not. I've actually been on Indiana a few times. I think this team's for real.
Yep.
But when you make the quarterback switch to Curtis Rourke and you go to Taven Jackson, who's more likely to turn the ball over, more of a volatile player, I really don't know how that's going to work with the flow of the offense for the Hoosiers. It is going to be a different look Indiana's going to put out there, but I think that's going to work more in Washington's favor because you got a veteran quarterback on the Washington side who's been great at running the offense and not turning the ball over in Will Rogers. And, you know, Indiana's going to hit one of these spots. We're going to have to struggle to win a game, and it's going to be a sweat, and they might end up getting upset. And I think this might be the spot against Washington and a good coach in Jed Fish. And I'm going to go with the Huskies and the points here. I think the hype with the Hoosiers has gotten to the point where it could be a distraction. And when you change quarterbacks, you never know how the team's going to react in this type of situation.
I got my Lee Corso pencil here, so not so fast, my friend.
Bob's sick of the Lee Corso stuff, seriously. Didn't he retire from that show like 7 or 8 years ago?
He still shows up, you know.
Okay.
Got another coach on there. Washington is coming off a bye. I would say situationally, a decent spot for Washington to head to Indiana. All right, let's sneak in one more game before the break. Another top 25 showdown, Matt, and it is a massive number as Oregon now number one in the country. No letdown last week against Purdue. They go to West Lafayette and they win 35-0. I bring that up because Illinois played Purdue, and they needed overtime to beat the Boilermakers. Now, it's not as simple as say Oregon shut out Purdue, Illinois needed overtime. I don't know. To me, when you look at a dog like this in Illinois, there's a reason this number is this high, and there's a reason that hook is still on that number 21. I haven't laid it, but it would be lay it or pass. I really like Oregon here in this spot, but I'm not in the camp of laying 21.5, but I do like Oregon a little bit here against Illinois.
Yeah, this is a tough one because the Ducks, coming off that big game against Ohio State, had to hit the road against Purdue, and you could say, well, they took care of business. But really, look at the box score, Tim. Oregon won that game 35-0, but it really only outgained Purdue by 100 yards, and I think it was more about Purdue's incompetence as an offense in that game more than anything. So the Ducks were able to hit cruise control on the road and pick up a win. I would like to take the dog here, but I think Illinois is a tough team to figure, especially on the road. And they can't, fighting Illini are not good at playing catch-up necessarily. And that's what you might have to play here against Dylan Gabriel and the Ducks. It would be dog or pass, and as of right now, I'm going to pass on this game.
All right, quickly, before we hit a break, one more game that you and I don't have a play on, but another top 25 showdown. Alabama taking on Missouri. This number is now out to 17. Why is it so high? Brady Cook not expected to play. Nate Noel, the starting running back for Missouri, not going to play. Alabama loses last week to Tennessee. I don't know if you could trust Alabama laying 17, but can you look at Missouri here? Maybe a bit overrated heading into this year, catching 17 in Tuscaloosa.
Well, is Brady Cook going to be a quarterback for the Tigers?
Doesn't look like it.
No, but there was Missouri message boards that were throwing out there that Cook is going to play.
Oh, okay.
And that he may, you know, obviously if he plays, Tim, he's not going to be at full strength, so you might see two quarterbacks playing this game. I think the Tigers are on shaky ground here. Boy, this Alabama team, there's a lot to talk about. How the defense has declined, how poorly Jalen Milroe has played. The big move to the total is on the under.
Another spicy matchup. We head to Camp Randall for a night game. Will the Badgers be jumping around to a cover? We'll break that down, game down next and more. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. Once again, the website, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep rolling through the Week 9 slate. Alongside Matt Eumanns, I am Tim Murray. We're at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We record this on a Thursday, and it's fun to watch the board on a Thursday as you start to see some of these games move. A game that we just talked about a little while ago, Notre Dame and Navy, just went to 14. Central Florida and BYU, a game that Matt and I are on, continues to get bet up now to 2.5. So interesting to see the board move, and also moving is another best bet for Matt, which we'll get to here momentarily. But it is not this game, Matt. Wisconsin has been a very hard team to figure out this year. This is a team historically that usually you and I, maybe more so you, love to bet on this Wisconsin team. And they go out to USC, they're up, and then they lose that lead. But since that USC game, granted, the competition has been rather lackluster, but they've been rolling. 52-6 over Purdue, 42-7 over Rutgers, and then last week over Northwestern, 23-3. This weekend, night game on NBC, they welcome in Penn State. Penn State, who, oh, by the way, hosts Ohio State next week, so maybe a little look-ahead situation. 6.5 is the number for the Badgers at home. Night game, Halloween. It may or may not be homecoming. I can't remember if it is. It's going to be a great crowd. What do you make of this one?
I like that little Wisconsin accent you threw in there, Tim. Did you work on that? That was pretty good.
I do a little radio in the Wisconsin area. I don't know. They might be mad at me for using that accent.
You though. Do in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, I do.
That's right. So I was on Wisconsin against USC. That's probably the worst beat I've had this season, catching 16.5 with the Badgers. And they were up 21-10 in the second half and got outscored 28-0 from there and lost by 17. But I'm not going to be reluctant to jump on the Badgers here. But, again, this is one, if the number is not going to take up to 7, and, again, a lot of times I'll wait till Saturday morning unless it's obvious the market's moving to 6, I will wait. But I'm just like the Washington play, if I have to, I'll buy Wisconsin from 6.5 up to plus 7 at minus 130. Some books you might be able to find minus 125 if you're buying a half point up to that number. But the Badgers played a lot better, and I thought Braden Locke was going to be an okay replacement of quarterback. Tim, did we really know what to expect out of Tyler Van Dyke anyway?
No.
You know, so Braden Locke is not a big downgrade, big drop-off at quarterback. And I think, you know, you could say, well, the Badgers have beaten three bad teams the last 3 weeks in Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern, which is true, but they've taken care of business in those games, and all three have been blowouts. And I think what you're seeing is a Luke Fickell team that is playing better and is gaining confidence on both sides of the ball. Early in the season against Alabama, that Wisconsin team was a lost cause. I'm seeing a different Badgers team now. And you mentioned one of the keys here, James Franklin. He's on the road against a better coach and in a look-ahead spot with Ohio State coming up. And I think this situation sets up really well for the Badgers. Night game and Camp Randall. Give me the 7.
One of your favorite coaches, Matt, is Chris Klieman.
Yeah.
Another very good coach is Lance Leipold. And they go head-to-head this weekend in Manhattan, Kansas. And this has been a very, I would imagine, frustrating year. Andy Koltynicki, the offensive coordinator a year ago and had been kind of Lance Leipold's right-hand man. Well, he's at Penn State now. And you've seen a drop-off. This team was 1-5, but those games were really all close when you look at it. They finally bounced back a little bit last week. They beat Houston. Houston stinks, but I do wonder, Matt, if you're getting this Kansas team at a bit of a bargain price here. Now, I was thinking the game of the year line would have been much higher. I look back in my notes, and the South Point had this game at 8. So it's not like it's that big of a difference. But I'm getting double digits with Kansas. Jalen Daniels has actually stayed healthy. They have a solid run game. I think in a rivalry game on the road, it's going to be the night, so it's going to be a raucous environment, no doubt there at the Little Apple. But I'll take the points here with Kansas. You know, you look at some of those games, -3 in the turnover margin to Illinois, -2 in the turnover margin to UNLV. They did lose to West Virginia. They had a heartbreaker earlier on in the year as well. So I think Kansas may be coming out of that funk a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and take Kansas plus the 10 against Kansas State. Shouts to Wes Reynolds if this one comes home. He noted this one earlier this week in the earlier podcast. So give me 10 with the Jayhawks against the Purple Cats.
Wes was on the Jayhawks taking 10?
He was.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to play this, I would take the points with Kansas. Kansas State has owned this rivalry. But this is a big number to be laying here, and I think the Jayhawks got to be hungry. Again, you got a really good coach in Lance Leipold who's done a lot of losing this season. And I think this Kansas team's too talented to be going down like this every week. I would say this is a chance. This is one of those games, Wes probably mentioned this. This is one of those games that Kansas can win and have a chance to salvage something from its season, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a Super Bowl for Kansas, but it's sort of like that, because if you can win a game like this, you feel like you've salvaged something from a lost season, and that's a big motivator for Kansas.
Yeah, and hopefully we can get Avery Johnson to make a mistake or two, and that would be the case there. Maybe some fortune going the Jayhawks' way with that. All right, let's get to some other best bets. We'll kind of rapid fire through these, Matt. We'll go to Stark Vegas. Mississippi State taking on Arkansas, and I don't know if this is a situation where, you know, I'm just mad at Matt Grissom or frustrated with old Bobby Petrino and Sam Pittman for the performance that they had last week. But I actually like this spot for Mississippi State. Now, I did see our friend Brett McMurphy note this as maybe a tricky spot for the Bulldogs, where they have played three straight games against Texas, Georgia, and Texas A&M. They did have a bye in there, but they've covered against Texas, Georgia, and Mississippi State, and you've got a home dog situation. So I'm going to take the Bulldogs. They've been playing a little bit better. They've been competitive. They've been moving the ball. They actually had more yards last week than Texas A&M. Michael Van Buren has been a jolt to this offense. And I always look at teams like Mississippi State, Matt, a first-year head coach. Seems like they're going to keep fighting for him all year long.
Right.
So this is a spot at home. You're taking on Arkansas, who just got blown out by their arch rival. You could certainly make the argument that this is a sell low spot on Arkansas, but there are a bunch of sevens out there in the market. I took seven. Give me Mississippi State. Hopefully the cowbells are deafening for Arkansas, and I'll take the home dog here catching seven against the Razorbacks.
You know, Mississippi State was considered by many to be the worst Power Four team in the country early in the season, but we're seeing some improvement in this team. And I don't disagree here, but I'm also trying to avoid betting on some of the really bad teams at this point in the season, the teams that don't have a lot to play for. And Arkansas, I don't have a problem betting against that team after what happened a week ago. You think the Razorbacks are in a great spot at home against LSU, and they come up with nothing right from the start. And I know that's a big disappointment to you and to me. So hopefully you're right here with Mississippi State. I'll just root on your bet, Tim.
All right. And it's also an early game, which you and I both hate. We do not like early games.
I don't like to play too many 9 a.m. games here at Pacific time. 9 a.m. the kickoffs. Tim and I are pretty much on the same page. I don't like to play a bunch of those, because if you start 0-2, you're in a bad mood the entire day.
Nothing makes it worse. And, I would say this. You know, Matt, you and I are we're chipper when we lose our bets. We're very positive.
Oh, you know, it's hard to be positive in the morning for me in general, right? It's just, who wakes up with a smile on your face and you need something positive to happen to improve your mood.
What I think is positive is the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, which is award-winning.
Great show. Great show.
Especially at 11:15 when Matt –
the world's number one college football pregame show, right here with Tim Murray every Saturday. Better than that stuff ESPN throws out there. Better than whatever Fox produces. Right here with Tim Murray on VSiN.
You know, what makes me happy is when Matt bets on late night games. So before we hit a break, we got about 2 minutes here. Washington State heads to San Diego State, one of your favorite cities in the world. What do you got? San Diego State taking on Wazoo.
Yeah, it's a numbers play for me. I made this 10. It's 14. I think Washington State may be a little bit overrated in this spot. And, hey, you've got Sean Lewis, who's a pretty good coach on the San Diego State side, who really struggled with the offense early in the season. I'm seeing an Aztecs offense that's improving a little bit the past couple weeks. A home dog that might be live here in this spot. I did watch Oregon State. I was at the Snapdragon Stadium that night when Oregon State came in, and the Beavers rolled the Aztecs 21-0. But it was a closer game than that, and I think this game will be played inside the number. So I made a 10. At 14, it's inflated. And I think San Diego State has shown enough signs of improvement here under Sean Lewis to take the points.
All right. We will get to the all-important Hawaii game on the other side of the break. I do have a money line parlay that I'm looking to throw in as well. Maryland coming off of a monster victory over USC. I know USC has been a massive disappointment. Came back from double digits down. They win that game at home. Now you got to travel to Minnesota to take on the Gophers, who are going to be rowing that boat off a bye week, but I didn't want to lay four, so I'm going to pair that with, and I'm sure I'll hate myself for doing it, I'm going to pair that with SMU at Duke. I know SMU just lost RJ Maryland, but I think SMU is going to be able to go down to Durham and beat Duke. I think Duke is a very fraudulent 6-1, so I will roll with SMU there and take the money line parlay, which around minus 101 at DraftKings. So official play there. All right, I mentioned it. Matt's got a play on the last game on the board. It doesn't get much better than that. We'll hit that and some other games as well before we get out of here. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Hey, folks, you know the drill. We are going to talk Friday games after we sign off. Yes, the bonus edition, and we've got some good ones this Friday night, including a game I will be in attendance at, Boise State and UNLV. So stick around for the Friday Night Lights portion of the podcast, a little bonus section after we bid you farewell.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And once again, my last bet before hitting a break there, Maryland at Minnesota. Minnesota laying 4 at home against the Terps. Minnesota coming off a bye here. Terps off of a impressive victory. We've seen the market tick up a little bit here on Minnesota as it's out to 4.5 at some shops. Really love the situational angle. Didn't want to lay 4.5, Matt, with a team like Minnesota who we know likes to play some close games. So I looked around. Whoever you thought would be a good pairing with the money line parlay, I threw in SMU. I know they're a road team, but I just look at this Duke team. They were +4 in the turnover margin in a win over Florida State last week. I don't know how this team is 6-1, so maybe it's just the vindictiveness in me because Duke is going to ultimately probably go over their 2.5 ACC wins, which I bet under, so maybe I could get one last crack at them. But whoever you would like to add in that, my money line parlay will be Minnesota to SMU. Hell, if you throw Oregon in there, you get like +106 or something like that, but that is the play for me. Matt, let's go to the last game on the board. It is the last one in the rotation, 213-214, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, Nevada taking on Hawaii. And today we have seen significant movement toward the Rainbow Warriors as they were around a 2-point underdog earlier this week, and they are now a 1.5, 2-point favorite. What do you like in Nevada at Hawaii on Saturday night?
Well, one factor you've got to consider here, it looks like Brendan Lewis, the dual threat quarterback for Nevada, is not going to play. And if he does play, he's banged up. He took a hit to the head last week in the game against Fresno State, and he had to leave the game. And Brock Purdy's brother, who's no Brock Purdy, Chuba Purdy, came in and finished the game for the Wolfpack. But that's a significant downgrade at quarterback. Brendan Lewis has been playing really well. In fact, this season, Lewis had 15 total touchdowns and 1,290 yards passing, 550 yards on the ground. He was a legit dual threat. And now with Purdy a quarterback, that's going to make Nevada less of a threat offensively. I'm on Hawaii here. This number early in the week was Nevada -2.5. And I thought, wow, is this going to take up to 3? I'd love to take Hawaii +3. Tim had never got there. And before the number dropped, I did take Hawaii +2 here. And at this point for this show, when I sent in the play this morning, there was still Hawaii +1 at DraftKings. Unfortunately, it's flipped. So Hawaii's not a home dog now. Hawaii's a home favorite of 1.5 or 2. But that's how quickly things can change in the market. Now, this is more where I made the number. I actually made the Warriors 1.5-point home favorites here. And that's why I was really surprised. When Circuit opened Nevada 1, it was bet up to 2.5. You might think, well, these numbers don't matter. These numbers do matter. Hawaii now is a small home favorite. Going to be my play here. And again, Braden Shager, the quarterback for Hawaii. You know Timmy Ching well, the Hawaii coach.
Friend of the network.
Yep. Shager's really starting to run this offense better. And, you know, he should as a veteran quarterback. In the game against, this is what jumped out to me, in the game against Boise 2 weeks ago, Hawaii trailed Boise 13-7 early in the fourth quarter. And they weren't doing a good job, really, of shutting down Ashton Jeanty, the nation's leading rusher. But they hung in the game as a one-possession game early in the fourth quarter. And that was with Hawaii failing to score with a first and goal at the five, missing a chip shot field goal. Got to solve some of these red zone issues if you're going to win games. But otherwise, I feel like Hawaii should be a small favorite here.
All right, Matt, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to hit our recap because I always feel like we're running up against it. We'll hit our recap, and if we have time, we'll hit a little best of the rest, some other games that maybe just fell off our card. So we have given all our analysis, all our bets that are officially in. I'm sure we'll add more when Saturday rolls around that we are tend to do. But let's hit it, our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, let's start with you. You've got six official plays. Run through them once again.
All right, here we go. UCF minus two. And UCF opened the week plus two against BYU in that spot. But I laid the money line here at minus 125, but we'll call it the Knights minus two. How about Washington plus seven at minus 130? And what I have in common here with the Wisconsin plus seven play is that right now you're not seeing seven on the board. So I'm going to wait to see if a seven shows up. And if the market at 6.5 starts to shift towards six, buy this up to 7 at minus 130. To me, it's worth it in these two games. Washington, Indiana, and Penn State, Wisconsin to play the dog and buy it up to plus 7 if you have to. So two Big Ten underdogs there. How about the SEC? Similar spot to when I played Vandy against Alabama earlier in the season. I'm going to bet this the same way. Tim, we're calling it Vandy plus 19 here, but I'm going to split the unit. We're going to play half of the unit on Vandy first half, half on the game. Commodores catching Texas off the big game against Georgia. And Quinn Ewers, Longhorns quarterback, just not playing well. And two late night plays here. San Diego State plus 14. Aztecs at home against Washington State. And Hawaii plus one when I sent it to our producer, Wyatt Tomchick, this morning. Now it's Hawaii minus 1.5 or two. Play it on the money line. Expect Hawaii to win the late night game in Honolulu. I can't say a Honolulu home dog, Tim, because that's not the case now.
Well, I really need Coach Chang, if you're listening, I need this win. All right, we need to start winning to get to that win total,
yeah.
But still sits at two. I've got over 4.5, so hopefully we get this win. I did tell you when you set in these plays, I took Hawaii at a pick. So I'm riding with you on the Bows late night. All right, my best bet recap, let's roll through them. As Matt Eumanns likes to say, this is my least favorite bet of the week, but I bet it, and we're going to give it out. So let's roll with this. Texas A&M money line. You can get a better number. I don't like the way the market is moving here, but I'm going to trust the home team. I'm going to trust Mike Elko. I know Mike Elko once upon a time was on Brian Kelly's staff at Notre Dame, but I'm going to trust Mike Elko here. I think it's a really good coaching matchup between these two teams, I should say. UCF, this is my favorite play of the week. Love the Knights here in this spot. The only common play that Matt and I have this week. So I'm going to take UCF on the money line. If you'd rather lay the two, sure, go for that, but I think UCF gets the victory, and I think they have a chance to, I don't want to say run away with it, but I think they beat a sort of fraudulent BYU team. Sunflower Showdown. Maybe you're getting a little low spot here on Kansas, but give me the 10 on the Kansas Jayhawks against Kansas State. Mississippi State plus 7. We thought we would have to buy to 7, but the market actually ticked back to 7, so that is a good thing here, at least from a numbers standpoint. So give me the Cowbells plus the 7. And then I wanted to fade Maryland off of a pretty big and impressive win over USC, but I didn't want to lay 4.5 with Minnesota. So we paired up then with SMU. Look around, see what juice you can get. Around minus 105 or so is where you can get on Minnesota paired with SMU, who is on the road at Duke. I get it, laying a road team on the road, but I do like the spot for SMU going up against Duke. All right, Matt, I just want to hit a couple games before we get out of here that we did not bet. We've got Nebraska at Ohio State, massive number here as Nebraska laying 25.5. Florida State, Miami laying 21. How about those two games? Preseason, we thought, hey, this could be a tricky spot for Ohio State. This could be a tricky spot for Miami. They're both laying north of 3 touchdowns in those games.
You know, I've been burned by the Hurricanes a couple times and not going to do it here. And do you really see any buy sign with Florida State? I don't. So I think Mike Norvell's coaching a lost cause there. I'm not even tempted to take the points with the Seminoles. In the other game, I think you can be tempted to take the points with Nebraska because who does Ohio State have on deck, Tim?
They would have Penn State.
That's right. So the Buckeyes got a bigger game on deck. And
looking
when you're
ahead.
a huge favorite like that, you got to be a little bit careful with laying the points with a team like Ohio State this week. I think this number is inflated because Nebraska just got bombed by Indiana a week ago, and that's the worst we've seen a Matt Rhule team look in what we can call a big game in a while. And I mean, it's going to be hard to get people on the Cornhuskers. How many points do you need, Tim, to get you on the dog in this game? I don't think until it gets to 27 or maybe even 28 would you get significant buyback on Nebraska. But I'm saying I would not lay it here with Ohio State because of the Penn State game on deck.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I am I'm going to sit out on Nebraska here for a little bit. How about Michigan State? The battle for what? The Paul Bunyan axe? Is that what it is? Why? Yeah. Paul Bunyan trophy. Excuse me. The axe is for someone else. Michigan State. Michigan getting some support in the market this today, out to 5.5, total of 38.5 for this one, Matt. And then lastly, I don't know why, but this game interests me a little bit. I haven't bet it yet. How about the Fighting Bronco Mendenhalls catching 5.5 on the road at Colorado State? I really like Devin Dampier. They can score. Can they score enough to stay within the number against the Rams of Colorado State?
I don't know. Like I said, I've had Colorado State wrong so many times. How about New Mexico, one of the worst offensive teams in college football the last couple of years, now all of a sudden playing in absolute shootouts every week. And Bronco Mendenhall, known as a defensive coach. Michigan State's a tough one, man. How bad were the Wolverines on offense last week in Champaign?
Why, I thought we weren't going to talk about Michigan, but we did. For Matt Youmans, I'm Tim Murray. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. To quote Matt Youmans, we want winners, and hopefully we give you some winners in Week 9.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, Matt, bonus time. We've got three games on Friday night. We got the Dodgers-Yankees post-game show, Rutgers and USC. We'll hit that last. Let's start with a game from a situational angle that I think you and I are both intrigued by. So last week, you and I both took Louisville. I'm a bit frustrated at the overturn call regardless. Louisville, you look at how they've played these last 3 weeks. Notre Dame, SMU, Miami. And now you've got a game against Boston College on the road before you play Clemson next week. This is quite the stretch. And Friday nights, I know this doesn't really mean anything, but 17-6-1 are underdogs on Friday nights. I played 7 with Boston College. You can get 7.5 now. I like the Screaming Eagles. Hopefully Thomas Castellanos is 100% healthy, but I think this is a really tricky spot for Jeff Rom's squad laying points on the road here at Boston College.
Yeah, Castellanos looks like he's back and playing well again, 459 yards passing in the last two games total. But, man, you look at the way BC's played the last few weeks. Lucky to beat Western Kentucky. Losing at Virginia. Losing at Virginia Tech and down 28-0 in that game, Tim. That's hard to get on the BC side, but I think Louisville's in a spot here where you could probably fade the Cardinals and take a good number and feel pretty good about it. And also, one thing that I like about this BC team, Bill O'Brien's got an offensive line that looks like an NFL line. And I think what BC's going to do here is try to use its offensive line just to overpower this Louisville defense and stay in the game with a ground attack, and there's a pretty good chance that can happen. Louisville off a big game with a big game on deck, on the road here, laying more than a touchdown. It's not my biggest bet of the week or even close to it, but I did play BC plus 7.5.
All right, let's get to the game that I think is one of the more interesting games of the entire week, and we definitely would have broke this down during the normal portion of the podcast, but we send that out to some partners out there. They play it later on in the week, so we'll hit it here. Boise State at UNLV. A rematch of last year's Mountain West Championship game that was played at Allegiant Stadium. Boise State coming off a bye. UNLV coming off of a victory and a cover on the road at Oregon State. I know JVT has been mentioning, rightfully so, Barry Odom against the spread since getting to UNLV, 15-6 ATS. Number now has gone out to 3.5, so support in the market on Boise State. Are you taking a home dog spot here?
Let's go with the home dog, Tim. Let's do it. You know, I love home dogs in college football, and I like this one. Again, Boise was at Hawaii 2 weeks ago before the bye, and really not a very impressive performance. Boise up 13-7 early in the fourth quarter in that game as a 21-point favorite. Did pull away to win the game 28-7, but it was a much closer game than that. Hawaii blew a couple scoring chances. Ashton Jeanty right now, 1,248 yards, nation's leading rusher. Seems to go for 200 about every game. Now, he could go for 150-plus here, and UNLV still have a shot to win. I think Rebels have a better, more physical defense than Boise's faced most of the season. Aside from the Oregon game, I think this is going to be the best opponent Boise has faced. And, again, I said this a few weeks ago, about a month ago, when Matthew Sluka left the UNLV team. I thought the quarterback switch might end up being an upgrade for the Rebels, and I believe it is. Hodge Malik Williams, who was a grad transfer from Campbell, is a good runner. Sluka was a good runner, but Williams is a better passer. He's a better athlete and a better passer. And in fact, since he stepped in, 70.5% completions, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. On the ground, 390 yards, 4 touchdowns. So right now, Hodge Malik Williams has a total of 14 TDs, 2 turnovers, completing passes at a high percentage. And Ricky White, their star wide receiver, is back as a big part of the offense. I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. As far as UNLV football goes, Friday night at Allegiant Stadium. And this is a huge game that Barry Odom's going to have his team ready for. I think Boise's a little bit overrated in the market. And with it going up to 3.5 here, I'm taking the points with the Rebels.
JVT on on UNLV as well. No surprise there. Brad Powers on Boise State. So a little bit of differing opinions out there.
I'm going to guess that Brad laid 2.5. Did he lay 2.5 or did he lay 3?
I believe he laid 2.5 in the look ahead, but he did still say on VSiN primetime he would lay 3. So I imagine at 3.5, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I imagine he wouldn't be on Boise State at 3.5, but we will see. I have not bet this game yet. I will absolutely have some sort of bet in my pocket. I know people love to hear about the Ashton Jeanty props, 190.5 over under rushing yards for Ashton Jeanty, who is, depending on what book you look at, either the favorite or the co-favorite with Cam Ward to win the Heisman Trophy.
I would go under. I think UNLV is going to hold him under that number. When I went back and watched the Boise-Hawaii tape, it's pretty predictable what Boise's going to do on offense. And I think what UNLV's got some really sharp defensive coaches who are going to say, hey, okay, you can't take Ashton Jeanty away, but you can slow him down, and let's make the quarterback, Maddox Madsen, beat us in this game. And I'm not sure he can. I think Jeanty's going to be held under that number. But, again, that's a big leap of faith, the way that guy's been playing.
Yeah, it is not easy. All right, lastly, I mentioned it, your Fox doubleheader on Friday night. Dodgers-Yankees game one, and then Rutgers-USC in the nightcap of the doubleheader. USC laying 14. Quick analysis. I don't want to lay it with USC. I have no interest in taking Rutgers. Rutgers is falling apart.
Yeah, and it's strange. Greg Schiano's team was hot with a lot of bettors before the season. How can you not play Rutgers? Win total over. Look at that schedule. Well, Rutgers is not going to get over. And like you're saying, the wheels are falling off for the Scarlet Knights. They might need Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper to join the team. Basketball season right around the corner. I think, no, seriously, this could be a get-right type of game for USC. Got a lot of frustrations from what's happened. You know, on the road at Minnesota, Michigan, Maryland. Now they're not playing a team on the road that starts with the letter M. Maybe USC is going to be okay. Now, I think the Trojans are explosive enough offensively that they can run away and hide in this game. I would not play the dog here.
Yeah, 3-4 are USC, and you could say that they're just a couple plays away from being 7-0. They are also maybe a couple plays away from being 2-5 because they got that win over LSU. All right, that's going to do it. Once again, as Matt mentioned, college basketball season right around the corner, and at VSiN.com we have our college basketball betting guide. Matt was a part of it, his top 50, his conference breakdowns, as was Wes Reynolds, Adam Burke, Steve Mackinnon, Aaron Moore, JVT, Hoops Peterson, of course, all did a great job in that guide. So make sure you check it out. Get a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now we're running our Sports Equinox special. $120 all the way through May 1st. You get everything that we have to offer there over at VSiN.com. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Ryan and Wyatt, our two producers on the podcast. Once again, please rate, review, and subscribe to the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.